This is Forklift Systems Football Saturday with former UT coordinator Doug Matthews on 104.5 The Zone.
Well, and so we move right along. You know, what has kind of become somewhat normal, I guess not real normal, but somewhat normal, are the postponements and cancellations. We have 13 total of those today, but we also have a lot of games going on around college football. We'll be talking about them today. Good morning. Welcome into Forklift Systems Football Saturday. Tony Barnhart, Charles Davis, and, of course, Coach John Chavis all on board today. You know, I was thinking this past week about how college coaches, administrators, players, heck, even fans have had to kind of maneuver around all the pitfalls that have happened this year, cancellations, postponements, wondering, changes. Kind of reminded me back when I was a kid back in Oklahoma, I was like to hunt with my dad and my brothers, rabbit hunting, little quail hunting occasionally. Occasionally some other things we probably weren't supposed to be hunting, but regardless, you know, you get out most of the good hunting grounds had a lot of thorn bushes, blackberry bushes, so to speak, with a lot of thorns on them. And you kind of had to maneuver your way through there every now and then, stop and kind of pick some of the thorns out of your pants. Hopefully they didn't scratch you too much. Well, that's kind of an analogy of what I see in college football right now. We're 5 weeks before the conference championship games. That's December 19th. But, boy, there will be a lot to pack into those throughout the country. Almost, well, every conference that is playing college football now. And, quite frankly, we anticipate a lot of, well, fluidity, if you will, in scheduling particularly. Changes in scheduled matchups, at least in the Southeastern Conference. All conference now allowing flexibility to get games played. Pac-12 has now said that, hey, if your conference game is scheduled, remember, they're only playing six. Well, you can play somebody else, a non-conference game, with some regulations on that. So all that will be discussed today. The Pac-12, well, they're trying to catch up. Two games in. They only play six, of course, as I mentioned. National picture right now, we'll be talking a lot about this, where we are somewhere a little past halfway mark. As I mentioned, 5 weeks from the championship games will be the which will be the final decider in what the four teams are to make the playoffs. I'll be talking with Tony about this, but College Football Playoff Committee came out and essentially said the Pac-12 kind of asked or maybe inquired would be a better way. Could we move the semifinal games back if need be and the championship game back? Not a definitive no, but close enough one that unless there are some major, major problems, we're going to be playing the championship game and the semifinal games right on time. Clemson, Texas A&M, Florida with one loss. But as you look at the teams right now, Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, of the big Power Five schools that are undefeated. Now, I'm leaving out a couple out in the Pac-12. They've only played two. So, again, those are things that we will be discussing today. In the Southeastern Conference, it's Alabama in the West. It's Florida in the East, as we discussed with Tony last week. Unless there's some major upsets, remember, both Alabama and Florida will have to lose two of the remaining three or four games. Very difficult to do if you look at that schedule. A&M setting pretty well as far as college football playoff. If they can win out and Alabama wins out, A&M's going to end the season. No championship, but they'll only have one loss. So as we look at the league right now, here's how I see it. We've got Alabama, Florida, and A&M up there on a level right now above almost everybody else. I'm not exactly sure where to put Georgia. We're going to see today, at least we anticipate seeing, the Daniels youngster start at quarterback. He was the transfer that came in, of course, from Southern Cal because of injuries and maybe some other things. Has not played yet. Anticipate him starting today. That could change some things. You got Georgia there. Those four teams. And then, you know what? I've really looked hard at this. We really have nine teams that are what I would call average this year, Southeastern Conference teams, one a little bit better than the other on 1 week. Maybe if they play the next week, it'd be flipped around. Auburn, Arkansas, Ole Miss, LSU, and Mississippi State in the West. Kentucky, Missouri, Tennessee, South Carolina in the East. Those nine schools, just pretty good. above average, probably going to end up somewhere around 5-5, 6-4, 4-6, somewhere in there. And then Vanderbilt, even though they're playing better, still kind of bringing up the end on that. So let's do this. Let's bring on Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. We got a full pack show for you, as I mentioned today. Charles Davis, well, he didn't have to go very far. He is has what I think Pittsburgh and Jacksonville tomorrow in Jacksonville. So we'll have Charles on. Then John Chavis is going to join us. With John, we'll take a real good look at the Tennessee-Auburn game. Also, Johnny's going to kind of tell us why Clemson football is where they are and have been where they are under Dabo Swinney. And we'll take a little look at the Ohio State program. How has that been built? That was kind of rebuilt, not a big rebuilding job, but Urban Meyer, what, 8-10 years ago or so. We'll discuss those with both Charles Davis, and we'll also visit a little bit about that, of course, with John Chavis. All right, let's bring on our good buddy, Tony Barnhart. Tony, you kind of heard, I think, most of the opening. Somehow we're where we are, still kind of winding, certainly wasn't a straight line. The old, what's the shortest distance between 2 points? Certainly wasn't that, but we're getting there.
We can see the finish line from here. Commissioner Sankey said this summer, and all the conversations I had with him, he said, it's not going to be a straight line. There are going to be ups and downs, and the idea is not to get the thing in the ditch. And I think so far, you know, last week was the toughest week, of course, only playing 3 games, postponing 4. We get to today. We only have 1 postponement today, Texas A&M and Ole Miss. The other 6 games are, I say, scheduled to be played, because about 30 minutes ago, Clemson and Florida State got canceled just hours before the kickoff. So today, Doug, bottom line, if we can get all 6 games played today in the SEC, that means that 49 of the 70 will have been completed with 4 more weekends, 4 more Saturdays to go.
Tony, let's just kind of hit that, start with that, because that's a big happening. And I say big happening because it happened today. Yeah. I don't know if they're playing that game, but one of them had to travel. So obviously everything.
It was in Tallahassee. Yeah.
So Clemson traveled. So do you know any of the behind the, what exactly what happened there?
They had a conference call this morning among the medical people, and based on what I've read, is that there was a disagreement between the medical people on whether or not the game should be played. Remember, everybody takes a round of tests on Thursday. That goes Sunday and Thursday, and a lot of the schools do the quick rapid response test on Friday. And apparently some numbers came up, and a lot of these schools, Doug, and we'll discuss this later, are sitting right at that number of 53 to be eligible. But based on the reporting that I've seen this morning, is that the medical people could not agree, and if one side obviously doesn't think the game should be played, the game is not going to be played. And that's ultimately what it came down to.
All right, Clemson, Florida State, canceled or postponed? Postponed, I guess, right?
Oh, absolutely postponed. Clemson, the good news for Clemson in all this is they've already played 8 football games, all right, 1 non-conference game. And so they've got 3 games left, 3 conference games left, against Florida State, that was postponed, Pittsburgh, and Virginia Tech. And basically they've got 3 Saturdays to get those games in. And because they are a factor in the ACC championship race, you've got to find a way, if possible, to get those games played. And one other factor, Doug, consider this. The first set of the college football playoff rankings come out Tuesday. Does this impact where Clemson is going to be in those rankings?
I think more than ever, it's always been this way on those college football rankings. First off, folks, if you follow that, normally it comes out, Tony, what, after the 8th or 9th week, somewhere around in there, right? So they give it's not like a poll. It is a poll, but it's not like a regular poll. They don't do it all year long. They wait till they have a significant number of games that have been played. And this first poll, I don't even know if it's worth looking at, because so many things are going to change. You got out west, the 2 teams out there who you would think would still be at least mentioned in the college football playoffs, Oregon and Southern Cal. They're the really only 2, I think, right now. Washington's undefeated, but they're not going to be. They've only played 1 ball game. But they have, 4 more games to play. And so we'll be looking there. The Big 12, who knows what's going to happen there? I mean, I have no doubt looking at the schedule that the winner, the conference champion in the Big 12 is going to have at least two losses.
Yes.
I mean, Iowa State is still there, and but you know, Oklahoma State is still there, but they have one loss. I don't think they're going to get through it on that. The Big Ten still kind of working through some of their scheduling situations, and Southeastern Conference, again, we know where they are right now, and we know pretty much where the ACC is. So all that, again, as I mentioned at the start of the show, things kind of fluid right now. I don't think there's any question, Tony, we will probably have some more postponements. And probably the closer we get to the end of the season, when the open dates that were set for three of the conferences run out, we're probably going to have some cancellations and all that. You mentioned the Southeastern Conference. There have been a possible 56 games counting this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been played. That's with everybody's already had one open date that was scheduled. 56 could have been played. And even though off the top of my head, I thought it was more, there's only seven that have been postponed. So Southeastern right. Conference still in good shape on that. Let's just give me a quickly, you talk to a lot of people around the country as we see where the college football playoffs are heading, but more importantly, where kind of the conferences are right now. What's kind of the overall view as you look at it right now? We know the Big Ten started later. We know the Pac-12 even started later after that. We know there are a very limited number of games in both those leagues that have no wiggle room for postponement. They either play or they're canceled. Where are you seeing that right now as the national picture looks?
Well, I don't think there's any question that the SEC and the ACC are being talked about the most, because right now, as we sit here and talk today, on November 21st, both of those conferences have the opportunity and the possibility of getting two teams in the playoff. Obviously, we believe Alabama and Florida are going to play for the SEC championship. And if Florida were to upset Alabama, the SEC could make a very strong case for getting two in. In the ACC, Clemson has already lost at Notre Dame, but remember, that was without Trevor Lawrence and several defensive starters. And if Clemson turns around and plays Notre Dame in the ACC championship game and Clemson wins that game, then the ACC has a heck of a case, all right? Now, after those two, I think everybody believes that Ohio State is the best team coming out of that league and has the best opportunity to go 7-0, 8-0 with a conference champion. And if Ohio State goes 8-0, Doug, they're in. Yeah, I mean, you can book that right now. So that takes up three spots, and after that, we're going to argue about number four. I think the Big 12 is out of it today. I think Oklahoma is going to beat Oklahoma State. I think that's going to put them out. I don't think the Pac-12 has a chance to get in, given the few games they played, and they're canceling a bunch of games. So I just think it comes down to those conferences, and it's going to be kind of fun. The bottom line is this: either the ACC or the SEC is going to get two in. Which one is it going to be?
You think so?
I do. One of those conferences is going to get two in.
Well, and we're counting Notre Dame is in the ACC this year.
Correct. So correct.
Just kind of numbers wise, here's kind of points out what Tony was talking about. Notre Dame has played 8 games already. They're 8-0. Clemson has played 8 games. They're 7-1. Alabama is 6-0 in the Southeastern Conference. Then you go down, Ohio State is 3-0. So they're 5 games behind as far as number of games played. Wisconsin, probably the other team in the Big Ten that really has a chance, I think, literally a chance. I'm talking about for the playoffs. There's 2-0. And then you go out west, you got Oregon and Southern Cal at 2-0. So a lot of ground to be made up. We try not to talk about what could happen on this show, but what is happening. But quite frankly, when it's all said and done, Tony Barnhart, when they pick the sit down December the 19th, or I guess it'll be the 20th the Sunday and pick these teams. They're going to be the four teams are going to be in the playoffs. They're going to have to look at a lot of different factors because you're going to have a couple of teams that have only played seven games, mm-hmm. some that have played nine, some that have played 10, some that have played 11. You're going to have some, like you mentioned, and they've done this in the past, but what type of weight will they put on the Clemson loss at Notre Dame with probably the guy that will either win the Heisman Trophy or be on the stage at least? Those are all questions that will be asked in, but those are things that will happen down the road. Right now, though, and I talked to several folks in college football this week, I think everybody's pretty darn happy where things are right now, just thankful. And I mean truly thankful here. We're coming up on Thanksgiving week that we've been able to get in at least half, a little over half of a college football season that 5 months ago we thought we might be playing it in March.
Doug, in mid-July, I had a long, long conversation with Commissioner Sankey. He and I talked for, about an hour. And he told me, he said, back in mid-July, he was very, very down. He was very, very concerned because of the numbers. And then things got better in August. And then once they made their decision to start on September 26th, he said, I feel good about starting the season. But then he said, I don't know about finishing the season. And that's where we are. It is going to be a literally a week-to-week proposition. Now, I think next week's games, if there are no postponements, next week's games will go on as scheduled. It's rivalry week, okay? But after that, scheduling, and particularly in the SEC, is going to be on a week-by-week basis. And the schedule for the Saturday, Doug, may not be done until 9 o'clock Monday night. So fans are going to have to get prepared for that because that's what's going to happen to get these games in.
We're going to be talking about the Southeastern Conference schedule, also the national picture, some big games nationally, and not only with teams that are Power Five conference schools, but other teams that could they get into the college football playoff? Could, probably won't, but they're making big moves. And then don't forget, we don't know exactly what bowl season is going to look like, but we got 12 teams that are going to be playing in the six college football playoff bowls. All right, quick break. More with Tony Barnhart when we come back. And I'll talk to you about Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental insurance, they also work with the Vision, VSP, and Vision Insurance. But let's talk a little bit about dental insurance from Delta Dental and also how important it is, dental health, almost maybe as important as just your health checkups. You go to a doctor, you have checkups, you get things worked on, hopefully. And many people sometimes kind of pass this up because maybe the cost and some other areas. Dental exams over the years have shown more and more times that they really can depict and show where you have problems, other health problems, just a simple dental exam. And Delta Dental wants you to know in this particular time, your oral health closely tied to your overall health, and Delta Dental can help you. Now, I've been with Delta Dental, had an insurance policy with them for about 4 or 5 years, me and my wife. Different situation. Needed dental insurance, didn't have it in my business, didn't have it when I was coaching. Delta Dental was perfect for me. Twice a year, I get a free dental exam. And then if I need major work, I haven't needed much, but I had a root canal 4, 5, 6 months ago. They covered well over half of it. Give them a look. See if they got something in their plan. I guarantee you they will. They have a myriad of plans that can help you. That's Delta Dental of Tennessee at deltadentaltn.com or coveryourmouth.com.
Hey, it's Charlie here with a helpful auto tip. If you ever borrow a friend's car or drive a rental, you probably don't know which side the gas tank is on. But did you know there's a little arrow on the dash next to the gas gauge that points to the side you fill the tank? You know, you don't have to be a mechanic to know some helpful tricks for your car. Kind of like you don't have to be a farmer to get affordable Farm Bureau insurance.
Visit FBITN.com to get your free auto quote from Farm Bureau Insurance. Tennessee turns to us.
sports fans, it's football time in Tennessee. Though times are uncertain, one thing is for sure. Interest rates are low and our local real estate market is steady and thriving. So if you're considering buying or selling a home, you need an experienced agent to guide you through the process. That's why Lucy Baldorf is here for you. She's a pro who knows her business and her vols. Make Lucy Baldorf at Frederick and Clark Realty your go-to fan for all things real estate. Contact Lucy at iSellNashvilleRealEstate.com.
Cody Allison and Associates. I've been talking about them on this show, well, for many years now. If you need to talk to an attorney group about an injury case, auto or truck, call Cody or one of his experienced associates at 615-234-6000. Cody Allison and Associates, they've been around and been a leader for over 20 years in Middle Tennessee. They have the experience to work with you and your family. Talk with a Middle Tennessee injury lawyer face-to-face. Cody Allison and Associates, 615-234-6000.
Hey, all you sports fans and dog lovers, it's Mike Keith. When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs. And at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, Double Dogs will make sure that you have the fuel you need at lunch or dinner while never having to miss a game. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs, located in cities across Tennessee.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for four generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford or Mid-10FordTrucks.com. That's Mid-10FordTrucks.com.
Have you tried the luxurious Hilton Nashville Green Hills lately? Staycations, getaways for weekends, or a break from the kids? The Hilton Nashville Green Hills just steps away from the area's best shopping. That would be the mall at Green Hills. Keep the Hilton Nashville Green Hills in mind.
After the year we've had, Genesis Diamonds thinks you deserve something really special.
And we're making it happen.
This weekend, Genesis Diamonds' largest sale ever, with savings up to 35% store-wide, plus aggressive zero-interest financing and an expanded selection of gorgeous all-new designer jewelry. Rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, new engagement rings, too. Turn your 2020 challenge into a 2020 celebration with something special from Genesis. 3 days of incredible store-wide savings this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Genesis Diamonds, Green Hills and Cool Spring on approved credit.
Forklift Systems Football Saturday continues as Coach Doug Matthews is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Stroud's Barbecue and Tennessee Steel Haulers on 104.5 The Zone.
21st of November, closing in on the championship games, which will be played. All the championship games will be played the weekend of the December 19th, right before Christmas time. Pretty good Christmas present for a champion on that. Tony, let's before we get into the Power Five conferences today and the schedules, let's kind of talk about some of the teams, the Group of Five and others that are not in the Power Five. As we look at the rankings right now, Cincinnati sitting there at 7-0. By the way, Luke Fickell, if he wants another job, he's going to be able to get another job. A very, very outstanding coordinator at Ohio State. Got a great job at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a good place to recruit to. They have good facilities now, and of course they sit there in the city of Cincinnati. Has really good football, and of course we know what Ohio has. You have Cincinnati sitting there at 7. Everybody above them is a Power Five school. Then BYU at 8-0. As we work our way on down, Marshall 7-0. They're ranked 15th in most of the polls. Coastal Carolina number 16, 7-0. Liberty. You heard anything about Hugh Freeze maybe getting a job after this? I say that jokingly. Heck, he's on there more than.
It'll come up in the conversation.
Yeah. Anyway, just real quickly, honest, very important week, by the way, for the Group of Five this week, isn't it, Tony?
Right, Bob. Yeah, because one of the things you always look when the first set of college football playoff rankings come out is where is the top Group of Five team? Because even if you don't get in the playoffs, if you end the season as the highest ranked Group of Five team in the CFP rankings, then you get a spot in one of the New Year's Six bowl games. So this is big for Cincinnati. Cincinnati's got a big game with UCF today. If they can sort, if they can win out and win their championship, they will certainly get the New Year's Six bowl game, and they'll be in at least in the discussion. Now, again, they're seventh. Cincinnati's seventh in the AP poll. Where does the committee have them based on their body of work?
Well, and the key thing, remember what Tony just said, why these group of five work for, the whole group of five, the group of five conferences get a chunk of the college football playoff money. And they also give one, at least one spot in there. So one of the 12 teams will be, no, regardless of where they're ranked, will be in one of the college football playoff, one of those six bowl games. Tony, let's kind of hit real quick. Cincinnati at UCF, that's a big game. Indiana at Ohio State, Indiana undefeated, Ohio State undefeated, big ball game. We'll discuss that with Charles Davis. Wisconsin at Northwestern, two undefeated teams. So Big Ten's going to have two undefeated and two with one loss after today. Oklahoma State and Oklahoma at Oklahoma. Tony alluded to that game a little bit earlier. And then Liberty at North Carolina State. Tony, Liberty's already beaten two ACC teams, Syracuse and Virginia Tech. And I don't know exactly how long that program has been up and running, but they certainly come a long way in a short period of time.
They have. They've got facilities. I did a long story on Hugh Freeze about 3 weeks ago, and we talked for a while. And they're for somebody at their level, at the group of five level, he said, our facilities are as good as anybody at the group of five level and better than a lot of power five levels. They've got like a $25 million football office complex. And they got money, Doug. They've got money. Hugh Freeze is making $2 million a year, and that was before he got his new contract. So he is among the highest paid group of five coaches in the country. So it'll be interesting to see. Oh, by the way, they play NC State today. Their last game of the year is against Coastal Carolina.
Interesting.
Hugh Freeze says, who scheduled that game? He said, oh, yeah, I did.
Well, at the time, it looked like a pretty good ball game, but we see so much of that. You know, 15, 20 years ago, rarely did you see a team that was not in what we didn't have the Power Five back then, but in one of those Power Five conferences, rarely did they win. Yes, there'd be an Appalachian State every now and then that would beat a Michigan. But boy, now it's pretty commonplace right now. I mean, you see teams go in and heck, Georgia State last year at Tennessee, yep. You see teams go in and regularly beat the established programs. All right, let's hit today's SEC games. 11 o'clock, we're talking Central Time on all of these. LSU at 2-3, at Arkansas 3-4. LSU, of course, game last week was postponed against Alabama. Tony, I would say right now there's two teams in the Southeastern Conference that just coaching-wise have really impressed me. But coach of the year right now has to be Sam Pittman. I don't care if one of the other teams win the national championship. Three wins. 20-0-20 before these. He's now has won three games in the Southeastern Conference, and would not be an upset today to beat LSU.
Not at all. Matter of fact, I picked Arkansas to beat LSU. First of all, they're at home. Secondly, they've got a proven quarterback in Felipe Franks. LSU is still going with TJ Finley because Miles Brennan's not going to play again this year, Doug. His abdominal injury is just too severe. So we're hearing that he's not going to play again. So you got a freshman quarterback who looked good in his first game, but had struggled once the defense has figured out what his strengths and weaknesses are. So I like Arkansas to win this game straight up.
Well, we will be talking about this in future shows, but there are a passel, if I could use that third term.
I love that word.
Of problems with the LSU off the field football program right now. I mean, and they're not going away, but again, that's for future shows. Florida, 5-1 in Nashville, Vandy 0-6. Kyle Trask just keeps on keeping on, 28 touchdown passes. Tony, he's got to be right in the middle. Well, maybe even higher than the middle. He's probably got to be right up at the top in the Heisman Trophy chase right now, correct?
He's got to be in your top three because, I mean, think about this. The 28 touchdown passes that he has, that not Joe Burrow, not Danny Werfel, not anybody. Nobody's ever thrown 28 touchdown passes in their first six games of the season. So that is a record. And the numbers he is putting up, and oh, by the way, he had six touchdown passes last week against Arkansas without Kyle Pitts, his number one weapon. So he's playing well. And you think about it, Trevor Lawrence has been off the field for 2 weeks in a row. Now it's 3 weeks in a row because they don't play today. All right. Justin Fields from Ohio State has a very small body of work thus far. So right now, this guy's got to be in your – he's got to be in your top two.
Well, and another guy that might be there, who would have thought that Kyle Trask and Mac Jones? I'll just speak for myself. Kyle Trask, I knew a little bit about. I didn't know anything about Mac Jones except maybe a little cleanup work last week. Almost 79% of his passes Mac Jones is completing, 18 touchdowns. They play Kentucky today in Tuscaloosa. Alabama sitting at 6-0. That's an SEC network game. Tennessee 2-4. They go to Auburn 4-2. A renewal of what used to be a huge rivalry back before we had division play. Auburn for most years going way back. Certainly it was this way in the 70s. And before we had division play, Auburn was normally the first conference game. Well, Auburn was the first conference game for Tennessee, and Tennessee was the first conference game for Auburn, and some great matchups throughout the years. I think Tennessee won the last time they were down in Auburn, but Auburn 4-2, both these teams kind of playing out the string right now, right?
Yeah, and I think Auburn's a little bit more excited about it than maybe Tennessee is. You'd know more about that than I would, but. I think Auburn is starting to figure some things out offensively, using the freshman running back Tank Bigsby. And I think Kevin Steele has finally figured out some things about his defense, and they're playing better. So I like Auburn in this game.
They're getting a good bit better on defense. By the way, I was going to mention this anyway. I think most people saw where Philip Fulmer tested positive for COVID, had a good visit with him yesterday. He is by himself. Of course, he's got, six grandkids and four kids that live around him and his wife, but he is up in he's got a mountain place up in the Smoky Mountains up there for whatever time it needs to be. One thing he mentioned to me was he said, Doug, the problem is they're not exactly sure when my time started because I don't know exactly where I got it from. But having said that, has absolutely no symptoms, feeling great. We talked about the Auburn game. We had some classic shootouts with Auburn back in the 80s when he and I shared an office together on and 8 of those years on offense and kind of talked about some of those great ball games. I tell you, when Pat Dye and John Majors hooked up in a ball game, it was about as old school of football all the way around as you could get. Great friends off the field, but fierce competitors on the field. Both of them great players in this conference. Again, Tennessee trying to find out exactly where they are. I'll talk with John Chavis about that one at the end. But Tennessee is they got some problems they got to get figured out here in the next four ball games. Georgia, 6:30 game, the SEC Network. Georgia 4-2, Mississippi State 2-4. Tony, JT Daniels finally, I think, have they named him the starter yet?
They never did, and they weren't going to do it, Doug, because that's just the way Kirby is about these things. But we are I'm expecting him to start, but he's definitely going to play today, and everybody wants to see. Listen, understand the back, folks who don't know. This kid was a five-star, if you believe in that. That means he's probably a really good player. Out of Mater Dei High School, which is the big, big high school that feeds Southern California, the University of Southern California. This guy was a five-star prospect, came into school early because he was named starting quarterback at USC as a true freshman. had a pretty good year as a true freshman, and then I think in the first game of 2019 suffered a torn ACL. So this guy comes with a great pedigree out of California, and Georgia fans have been impatiently waiting to get this guy on the field because, let's be honest, the quarterback play at Georgia has not been very good. So I think a lot of Georgia people will be watching this game for that very reason.
Missouri 2-3, South Carolina 2-5. Will Muschamp fired Mike Bobo, he was a teammate of Will's at Georgia,
yes,
wasn't it?
They were teammates at Georgia. Yep.
He takes over, and South Carolina defensively, last three ball games. Here's why Will Muschamp, who is still acknowledged one of the best defensive coordinators in the last 25 years. South Carolina's defense 52, 48, 59 in the last three games. So anyway, all right, quick break. More with Tony Barnhart when we come back. Star Physical Therapy, 67 Star Physical Therapy location. You know, they got so many of them. Kelly Ziegler and the group there, they may have even started another one before I did this special today. They strictly follow CDC guidelines. They've been doing that, though, for years and years and years. Their facilities are always the most sterile, clean, and safe. So bottom line is this. If you're worried about having some pain relieved, and that's what this is all about, well, feel comfortable going to Star Physical Therapy. And if you don't, if you can't leave your home for whatever reason, maybe safety is a problem or something other, they have the tele-rehab that has become so, so popular in this age of COVID. They can see most patients even without a prescription from the physician. They call that the direct access. 67 locations, CDC guidelines covered 100%. It's your health. It's Star's clean hands. Choose Star.
Stover's Liquidation is the South's largest stocking dealer of flooring. Lowest prices anywhere. Why shop at big box stores that lure you in with one or two low-priced flooring choices? Literally choose from hundreds of styles and selections at Stover's Liquidation. All at liquidation prices. Luxury vinyl plank. Stover's Liquidation has tons of selections for just $129 a square foot. Big box selection at $129? None. When it comes to price and selection, nobody beats Stover's Liquidation. See us in Antioch, Cookeville, or Oak Ridge, or online anytime at stoversliquidation.com. Stover's.
This is Todd Tressler, owner and founder of Tressler & Associates PLLC. I believe in challenging the status quo of the entire legal profession. I believe in surrounding yourself with givers in every aspect of your life. I just happen to have 100 years of generational real estate knowledge and 10 years of entrepreneurial experience that continues to provide the foundation for my boutique law firm that's secured the peace of mind of our family and friends since 2009. Contact us at TresslerAssociates.com to let us secure your peace of mind.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
Celebrate Thanksgiving the Puckett's way with tasty Turkey Day options. Gather around the Puckett's table for a family-style meal featuring all your Southern favorites. Make your reservation today. Giving thanks at home this year? Let Puckett's handle the cooking. Now accepting holiday to-go orders for turkeys, smoked meats, homemade sides and desserts, and much more. Visit PucketsGRO.com/holiday-to-go to view the complete menu. This Thanksgiving, just relax and leave the cooking to Puckett's. Open on Thanksgiving Day or enjoy in your home.
Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offer bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com or see them in any of their 5 Middle Tennessee or 3 Knoxville area locations. Plus, all locations have their own Facebook page and are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced, each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Forklift Systems Football Saturday continues as Coach Doug Matthews is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Stroud's Barbecue and Tennessee Steel Haulers on 104.5 The Zone.
Hit a couple off-the-field topics with Tony Barnhart. Tony, we mentioned at the start of the show, Will Muschamp fired at South Carolina last week. Mike Bobo takes over there. No chance for the job. Talk a little bit about what you're hearing there. I guess a couple of the names, one of the names will certainly be mentioned because of a couple of reasons. One, his ties to the Southeastern Conference, but also his proximity to Columbia, South Carolina, and essentially recruiting in basically the same area that South Carolina would be recruiting. What's first thoughts there you're hearing from the South Carolina people?
Well, I talked to several different South Carolina people, got on a conference call with Ray Tanner, the athletic director. Ray Tanner's made it very, very clear the next coach will be somebody whose background is on offense, who can run the up-tempo, the RPO, all those things. And because of that, the first name that comes to mind is Hugh Freeze at Liberty and what he has done over the course of his career. The issue, I'm being told, though, is that Ray Tanner is a very straight shooter. The new president at South Carolina is a former commander or whatever the title is at the U.S. Military Academy. So that's his background. And Hugh Freeze, as we all know, has some issues off the field and some NCAA issues that have got to be worked through. Other names you hear are people like Billy Napier, who's done an incredible job at Louisiana, the son of a high school coaching legend in that part of the world. He has done an incredible job there. Remember, they went on the road and won at Iowa State to open the year, and Iowa State's turned out to have a pretty good football team. Tony Elliott is the offensive coordinator at Clemson. My feeling is that Tony would not take that job for a lot of different reasons, but that's what they want is pretty clear, Doug. They want somebody, two things. One, that runs the up-tempo offense, scores a lot of points. Ray Tanner said this. And the other thing is it is a very, and you and I have talked about this off air, it's a very difficult job from a recruiting standpoint. And it's changed, okay? When Steve Spurrier went 10 years there, he beat Clemson 5 years in a row. Well, in that stretch of time was some of the best recruiting ever in the state of South Carolina. Alshon Jeffrey, Marcus Lattimore, Jadavian Clowney, Stephon Gilmore. Those were some of the greatest players that the state's produced. Spurrier got all of them, and that was a big reason he was successful. Now Spurrier's gone. Dabo Sweeney's got it rolling at Clemson. They're recruiting nationally, and you've got Dabo Sweeney in the state. You've got Kirby Smart to the east of you in Georgia, and then you got Mac Brown on the other border at North Carolina. It's a tough, tough job.
John Chavis and I were talking this week about what we were going to talk about on the show, and I mentioned to him, if you're a defensive coordinator, a top defensive coordinator in America right now, you had to really probably have to take some Pepto-Bismol when you heard Nick Saban say this is no longer a defensive game, it's an offensive game, because you're not going to see defensive coordinators hire. You're going to – exactly what you said, Tony. I think most people saw it that way anyway, but when Nick Saban comes out and says that, who I don't know if he ever coached offense. He was a defensive coach, I think, almost his whole career at least. And it's going to be some type of offensive game. It's an offensive game now, and even more than
yes,
an offensive game, it's an offensive game that the coaches who seemingly are having the best success are quarterback coaches. You mentioned that Hugh Freeze is one of those. You know, he was doing that way back at Lambeth, 15, 20 years ago. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. One thing on that, I mentioned this on the Wednesday show, and I hope I'm not wrong on this. I think I remember you saying this. Tony, let's go back when Will Muschamp was hired. Wasn't Kirby Smart interviewed for that job, and wasn't he thought to be getting that job right before? Wasn't that the same year, or am I mistaken on that?
No, you're 100% right. It's really simple, Doug. South Carolina was getting ready to hire Kirby Smart as its head football coach. Okay. Georgia said, oh my goodness, our guy is going to South Carolina. That's the guy they wanted. And it's unfortunate, but they made the change. I mean, everybody said, why was Mark Richt let go when he was averaging 10 wins a year at Georgia? That's why, because Kirby Smart became available. And that's when it happened.
Kirby Smart was the defense coordinator, of course, at Alabama at that time. And
correct.
Former Georgia player, former teammate of Will Muschamp, as far on that. We'll probably be talking in future shows where Will Muschamp will end up. He will be, if he wants to be, he doesn't have to do anything. If none of this is renegotiated, and there's no reason to be renegotiated, he's going to, at some point, get a little over $13 million. From the buyout there, or maybe it's 11 million. Anyway, he's going to get a lot of money. But there's certainly going to be some places in the Southeastern Conference that are looking for defensive coordinators, and he still is highly, highly thought of. The other thing that he has going for him, Tony, which you know, is he is so close to so many head football coaches in this league.
Right.
Good friends, probably with a half a dozen of them, and has worked with probably more than that. So anyway, just something to kind of keep your eye on that. Let's get into one scheduling. Again, we're not going to talk a whole lot about what's going to be scheduled, folks, in the next few weeks. Just remember this, though. After today's games, the Southeastern Conference, I probably worded this wrong last week when I said they're going to take over scheduling. That wasn't quite right, but what they will do is Commissioner Sankey has the ability now to change matchups, to change games in the last two weekends, and actually three weekends if you count the 19th going forward. Now, having said that, Tony, you came up with this, and I thought it was very interesting. Folks, last week's games every year is rivalry week in the Southeastern Conference. And it is, again, 28th is the last weekend this year. It is again this weekend, or this year, the next weekend. Tony, you don't see those games changing right now, do you?
No, because we only lost one game this week, Texas A&M and Ole Miss. So that means next week's game during rivalry week can be played, okay? And so I don't anticipate any change. Now, some of those games could get postponed, but yeah. Based on the fact, you know, if we had lost four games this week like we did last week, then some of those games could have been changed. But for now, I anticipate the games of November 28th, I anticipate that schedule staying the same.
One question on that. Rivalry weekend changed for four teams. Because in the past, those four teams, Kentucky, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, played an in-state ACC rival that final game. Those changed. So Kentucky, Florida playing each other, Georgia, South Carolina scheduled to play. If there were changes, you would think it would and they involved any of those teams, it would probably be those four teams in those two games, because that's really not a rivalry game.
Right, right. Yeah, and basically you do – They put those games because they wanted the Iron Bowl on Thanksgiving weekend. They wanted the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving weekend. Those are two very, very important games. Arkansas, Missouri, that's their rival. So, yeah, that's there could be changes made, but I think the schedule won't change. Now, the virus may say that some of those games can't be played, but I don't think the schedule will change.
Well, with Tony Barnhart, when we come back, Wilson Bank and Trust, you know, you're hearing this everywhere, but it is certainly true at Wilson Bank and Trust. All-time low rates right now. Great time to buy, great time to build or refinance with a home loan from your friendly, experienced lending team at Middle Tennessee's Community Bank. And they are Middle Tennessee's Community Bank, Wilson Bank and Trust. 28 locations in 9 Middle Tennessee counties. They're there to serve the people of their community in Middle Tennessee, all over. Fast local decisions because they're a community bank. Lenders that will find the right product for you and your family and your circumstances because they are a community bank. They got the one and done loans, which is extremely popular right now. You only have one application from construction to permanent financing. So you don't need a whole new loan and go through all of that. One application, one closing, one low interest rate. You can speak with a lender about any type of home loan at any of their 28 full service offices, or you can apply online at wilsonbank.com. Middle Tennessee's Community Bank, Wilson Bank and Trust.
Don't miss the back-to-school sales event all month long at Walker Chevrolet. New cars, SUVs, and trucks. How about a new Tahoe four-wheel drive with leather for as low as $46,521? Are you tired of spending time at the gas pumps? We have the perfect car for you. Lease a new Bolt EV Premier for just $299 with $599 due at signing. Or let us get you into a brand-new Silverado for just $31,983. The back-to-school sales event going on now at Walker Chevrolet off I-65. Exit 65 in Franklin, or visit us online at walkerchevrolet.com. Stock number LR237438. Prices include financing and GM Financial and trading 2006 or newer qualified trade-in. Does not include tax, title, or government fees. Stock number L4111119. Must have qualifying Costco membership. Must have current lease. Must qualify for formula pricing. Does not include tax, title, and government fees. Stock number LZ319577. Does not include tax, title, or government fees.
This is Neil Campbell with Story Abernathy & Campbell. Our team has decades of litigation experience dealing with complex marital situations. If you find yourself needing an experienced divorce attorney in Williamson County, our team can help you through that process. Whether it's a divorce, a child custody situation, or any other complex situation, we have the experience and strategy to help you. Our offices are located directly across from the Williamson County Courthouse. Contact Neil Campbell at WilliamsonDivorce.com.
Looking for a wow experience in upscale dining? Welcome to Stony River Steakhouse and Grill. You know us for our certified Angus beef brand steaks, but we're much more. Stony River is a neighborhood restaurant featuring fresh seafood entrees and made from scratch cuisine, complemented by handcrafted cocktails and award-winning wine list. All this to savor in a warm, rich ambiance. Stony River Steakhouse and Grill on West End in Nashville and Galleria Boulevard in Franklin.
Have you been hoping to win $1,000 a day every day for the rest of your life with the added excitement of a chance to win instantly? Well, with Cash for Life with Quick Cash, today could be your lucky day. Give it a try. Simply add Quick Cash to your next Cash for Life purchase for a chance to win instantly. But wait, there's more. Then watch the nightly Cash for Life drawing to see if you win $1,000 a day or week for life. Cash for Life with Quick Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
And now, a moment of silence to remember our dear friend.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
Life can be uncomfortable. Your home doesn't have to be. With air conditioners, furnaces, and heat pumps installed by a Rheem Pro partner, you can feel comfortable, even when you can't be comfortable.
Ah, jeez. Really?
Trust the expert installation and service of your local Rheem Pro partner. Visit RheemProPartnersTN.com to find one near you.
It's the future of fitness.
Perfect for athletes,
busy moms,
or anyone over 65.
A 15-minute session can equal up to 6 hours of strength training in the gym.
It gives me more flexibility and balance.
Taking my power and performance to the next level.
It's Mandu, the pulse of fitness.
It's the 15-minute workout that changes your life.
Visit one of Mandu Studios conveniently located in Brentwood, Franklin, and Green Hills. Sign up for your free session today at Mandu.com.
After all she's been through in 2020, Genesis Diamonds wants to help you celebrate the woman in your life in a big way. This weekend, it's the largest store-wide sale ever at Genesis, with savings of 20, 25, up to 35% store-wide. Zero interest financing, extra selection too, including all new designer collections flown in just for this. Turn our 2020 from a challenge to a celebration with a new ring, pair of earrings, bracelet, or necklace, or new engagement ring. This Friday through Sunday, only at Genesis Diamonds, Green Hills and Cool Springs.
Your home for Titans and Vols football. 104.5 The Zone. WGFX Gallatin Nashville. A Cumulus station. Forklift Systems Football Saturday continues as Coach Doug Matthews is joined by Mr. College Football Tony Barnhart. Presented by Stroud's Barbecue and Tennessee Steel Haulers on 104.5 The Zone.
One of the things that might be interesting throughout the country as we close in on the final weekends of games is the opt-out. You know, these players can opt out at any time. That was one of the things that happened, by the way, at South Carolina after Will Muschamp was fired. Tony, what three or four players, including J.C. Horn, who probably certainly their best defensive back, I wouldn't be surprised if we go through this with teams that have no chance really of playing for anything. I wouldn't be surprised to see some more opt-outs. One thing on it, you can opt out at any time and still retain your scholarship, of course. And remember, folks, this year there's no eligibility loss by any player that is playing anywhere, fifth year, sixth year, first year, wherever you are. You can play next year if the university wants you back. We'll be discussing that as we get closer to the SEC signing date and the national signing date. But, Tony, kind of with that in mind, let's talk a little bit about Pac-12, who started late, two games in now, have had certainly some postponements out there. They, I don't know if they requested this, but they certainly talked to the college football playoff committee, Bill Hancock, the head of that, and at least discussed moving the semifinal games, which are January 1st. Remember, it's the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl this year, and the championship game January 11th. But they got a pretty cold talk to my hand, right? Didn't get much out of that.
Yeah. No, and honestly, Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Big 12, Pac-12, knew that going in. He says, look, I understand, but it's my job to ask. And basically what they were asking was, would the college football playoff consider moving the semifinals to a later date and the finals to a later date? And basically their response was, we will talk about it. They talked about it, and they said, nope, we're good, thanks. And so, yeah, they knew that going in. But here was one thing that came out of that, Doug, that I found was interesting. And I hadn't thought about this until they said it. Bill Hancock says, now, we're not going to move the semifinals unless this happens. Let's pretend that the Final Four is going to be announced on Sunday, December 20th, if everything's on schedule. What if one of those teams has an outbreak and cannot play on January 1st, there will not be a replacement team. They will give them the time to get their team ready to play in the game. And under that circumstance, the semifinals could be moved. But Bill Hancock made it very clear, once you were chosen to play in the playoffs, if you have an outbreak and can't play, then the games will be moved to accommodate you.
Let me tell you about a little silver lining that is in this situation, though. And this is something that I think is going to play a major factor in this. Almost every single university, Thanksgiving weekend is next weekend. Everybody's going to be going home. Almost every single university, not athletic programs, but university, is closing down campus until after the first of the year. So essentially what these teams are going to have, it's going to be kind of like bowl practice. They're going to be in their own semi-bubble at that time. No students, So they'll have the athletic departments, the football programs will have much more control over who these players are around, and it'll be somewhat like it was back before they got on campus before. So that will go up, of course, until when most programs come back, or most universities come back, 8th, 9th, 10th, somewhere. So that's going to take us through all those semifinal games and the great majority of the time before the 11th. One thing that, Tony, I didn't think was talked about enough by much of the media, it kind of flew under the radar. Last week in one of Commissioner Sankey's comments, press conferences, or maybe talking to somebody off the record, said was that one thing that's come out of all this, there hasn't been a single documented case of COVID-19 that has been contracted because of on-field play. Sure. It has all come from outside of the building, from something that happened outside of the practices and play. That's pretty big when you think about it, because again, starting the end of probably end of this week for many programs, they're going to be the schools are going to be shut down, and you're going to have the ability to really even control even further who your players, coaches, staff is around.
Yeah. I mean, Doug, I can't tell you how many athletic directors this summer said, look, when they are in our facilities, in our work areas and all that, we really have no concerns, because we're keeping our places pristine. It's when they go onto campus, when they go out to see friends, when they go, that's when the issues start. Or travel. Travel's been an issue. But yeah, you're right. Once the students go home for Thanksgiving, it won't be a bubble, but it'll be probably the next best thing in terms of keeping the players safe. So you're exactly right about that.
Let's look at where we are right now nationwide, five Power Five conferences. Tony, I'm going to kind of hit where we are right now. Let's talk about it. ACC, of course, the ACC and the Big 12 will have played more games than any other league. They have games scheduled, and they started playing more. They had more open dates. Because of that, they've been less affected by this. Tony, the ACC right now, Atlantic Coast Conference, Notre Dame 7-0, Clemson 6-1. Their only loss was to Notre Dame. Miami still somewhat in it with a 6-1 record. Their loss was to Clemson. And folks, remember this. It's not division play anymore or this year in the ACC. It's number one versus number two. We anticipate that being Notre Dame Clemson. Clemson has a tiebreaker over Miami because they beat Miami. And quite frankly, Clemson's a much better team right now. But that's it right now, right?
Yeah, that's it. And it's been an interesting year. I will say this. The Notre Dame game at North Carolina is intriguing to me, and that's coming up on Saturday, on Friday. And the way that North Carolina has been able to score points, I still think Notre Dame is going to win the game, but that one has a chance to be entertaining. North Carolina hosts Notre Dame on November 27th, Friday. That will be interesting.
Notre Dame, Syracuse, Wake. That's Notre Dame's last three games. Talking to a friend of mine who is a avid Notre Dame grad, and what a year to pick going in to the ACC, because frankly, folks, let's go back before the season started. Remember Notre Dame and Independent, half their games were already gone before they even thought about starting the season, because their conference games with the Big Ten were all gone. They had some of the academy games that were gone.
That's a Pac-12 games that were gone.
Good, Stanford and Southern Cal both. And it was because of the relationship that they had with the Atlantic Coast Conference. Atlantic Coast Conference welcomed them with open arms, and who knows what may happen down the line. Everybody's talking about how this is a one-year deal. Well, maybe it is or maybe it isn't, but as he was saying, how many the luck of the Irish would have the possibility of winning not only the ACC, but also the national championship while in the only year they've ever been in a conference. Kind of would be very ironic if that happened. Now, they got a long way to go, but they're a heck of a lot closer than every other team at about three or four.
No, that's exactly right. And I remember when the conversation took place, when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 pulled out, basically Notre Dame goes to North Carolina, goes to the ACC and says, look, we've already got six ACC games on our schedule. Could you help us out? And John Swofford, the commissioner of the ACC, told Jack Swarbrick, says, whatever you need from a scheduling standpoint, we will give you. And that's how the deal. And oh, by the way, if you do want to join us, we'll take a piece of that NBC television money. He said, okay, we'll do that.
Hat in hand.
Oh, they had no choice. No, absolutely.
Well, and certainly the relationship the other sports Notre Dame has being in the conference, that had to help also on that. So anyway, Atlantic Coast, hard to see how the championship game's not going to be Notre Dame and Clemson, but we got a few games left to play on that. The Big 12 got some real problems. No undefeateds right now and still a lot of time to play. Texas, Oklahoma, both with two losses. Only two teams have one loss, Oklahoma State and Iowa State. Oklahoma State plays Oklahoma today. If they get through this one, well, maybe. But, Tony, I don't think anybody anywhere thinks Oklahoma State and Iowa State are going to get through this and be the conference champion.
No, the conference champion is going to have at least two losses. I think we can say that with a good bit of confidence, which means the Big 12 conference is not going to get a spot in the playoffs.
All right, five Power 5 conferences, only four go. Let's just for time being say the Big 12 is not one of them. Pac-12, you got Oregon at 2-0, Southern Cal 2-0, Colorado 2-0, and Washington 1-0. Tony, Oregon, the pick out there for a lot of reasons, they are the best, but the best possible record that they can come out of the Pac-12 is 7-0, and that is after if they win the championship. Southern Cal can do the same thing right now also. And the question is going to be, with the Big 12 out of it, can the Pac-12 get in 7-0? My guess is they probably can if it's Oregon. I'm not sure. And Southern Cal probably too.
Yeah. Because of
the name. But Oregon's a very, very good football team. But I would think that's their only hope right now.
That is their only hope right now. And I think it's going to be, particularly if Ohio State is sitting there at 8-0. I think the best Ohio State can do is 8-0, if I'm not mistaken. If Ohio State's sitting there at 8-0, with the schedule they played, I think they get in ahead of an Oregon. And quite honestly, Doug, I think it's going to be the SEC champ, the ACC champ, the Big Ten champ, and we'll have a big argument about four. And four could be the second team from an ACC or a SEC. I just don't see Oregon getting in at 7-0.
You would think it almost has to be because of the number of games played, and also the programs that are still remaining in the ACC and the again with Notre Dame in there with the ACC and the Southeastern Conference, gonna have to be one of those teams. You would think. Let's talk about the Big Ten. Ohio State 3-0, and they are clearly the best team in that league. Wisconsin, they do what they do. They're going to line up and physically assault you every play. And they got a quarterback playing at a high level. They play the two undefeated. There's four undefeated teams up there. All four of them play. They play each other today. Northwestern, who Pat Fitzgerald, for my money, might be the best, do the best job year in and year out. They're 4-0 at Northwestern. Only giving up 14 points a game. Is outstanding, but they're only scoring 28, which ain't very good in today's football. And of course, Indiana 4-0. Coach Allen, big job there. They play Ohio State, so there's four games remaining left to play. Ohio State, maybe Wisconsin, and that's probably it.
Yeah, and essentially today we've got the Big Ten semifinals today. I mean, whoever wins Indiana Ohio State's going to win the East. We think it'll be Ohio State. Whoever wins Northwestern, Wisconsin is probably going to win the West. So this is a big day for the Big Ten.
It takes us to the Southeastern Conference. Tony, it would be really well, maybe a miracle's too strong a word, but it would be highly unusual. Something's going to have to really happen that we don't see happening if it's not going to be Alabama and Florida. And you got A&M sitting out there. If A&M, and again, I'm leaving some of this open, folks, because that December 12th weekend before the SEC championship game, we're going to see some games change in there because of the conference, and A&M is going to probably be one of those, depending on, you know, exactly how everything stands in. But A&M right now has a good chance of ending up 9-1, not going to the SEC championship game. We know what history tells us. You don't have to go to the SEC championship game to get in. Alabama did it 1 year, and this year with the Pac-12, with the Big 12 having problems, and even the Big 10 not playing many games, at least a possibility this year.
Well, this is the thing. We talked about the SEC stepping in and doing some of the scheduling or moving games around. There's a priority, Doug. And listen, the priority is that Alabama's got to play all of their games. Florida's got to play all of their games because they're probably going to be there. And Texas A&M has got to play all of their games. They've got to reschedule the Ole Miss Texas A&M game that was scheduled for today. Because here's the path for Texas A&M, Doug. All those teams play all their games. Florida loses to Alabama in the SEC championship game. And so Texas A&M is sitting there with a win over Florida and their only loss being to number one Alabama, if they're number one. So as you're looking around for a fourth team, Texas A&M can make a pretty good case. Hey, we went 9-1 in the SEC, only lost to Alabama, and we beat Florida. So it's very important that Texas A&M play all their games.
You heard the my introduction. Let's close with this with Tony Barnhart. Tony, Alabama, Florida, A&M, a step above everybody right now. I put Georgia very close. What's going to be interesting today is how Georgia looks offensively with Daniels at quarterback, because they've been playing with a third-team quarterback. Guy's done a wonderful job, as good as he could.
Great
do.
Great story.
But, not quite good enough. You got those four teams. And then, Tony, I got nine teams that are just about flip a coin when they play. Auburn probably the best of that group, maybe South Carolina now the least best, the worst of that group, simply because of the coaching change there. And then Vanderbilt kind of bringing up the rear. But even they, the last couple of weeks, have shown the pulse.
Yeah, and I just think it's been that kind of year. Those three teams at the top, I think Georgia's in a tier by themselves because of the overall talent that they have. And, the rest of the teams are they're just okay. But we knew that was going to happen, Doug, because guess what? Nobody's playing any non-conference cupcakes. Usually you get a chance to pad your record with an extra two wins against some teams that you're supposed to be. You don't get that this year. Every game counts. And so I think you have to view it in that prism of playing 10 SEC games and no non-conference.
Leave me with this. We know what happened at South Carolina. That's a cumulative thing that happened there.
Sure.
But as you look at the rest of the conference, Tony, because of what's all that's gone on this year, because, you know, one of the things that we really don't know, folks, and I throw myself in this category as a fan, we really don't know why some of these players aren't playing. We don't know it to what extent the contact tracing has kept players from practicing, which certainly, if you're an average team, which nine of these teams are, you know, four or five players here, four or five players there, suddenly you become a below average football team. With that in mind, and from what you've talked with administrators, do you expect athletic directors, do you think we're going to see many changes at all in this conference going forward? Will Muschamp already out. Yep. Certainly some teams that are not going to do very well. What do you expect?
No, I don't. I think the situation with Muschamp, as you mentioned, was a cumulative type thing where we ticked off those points numbers they'd given up. Ray Tanner didn't want to make this change, but he had to. All right. Everybody I talked to says, look, first of all, when it comes to changing coaches, we don't have any money to pay off a big buyout. It's just not there. And the optics of us paying that kind of money are not very good. The other one is if you guide your team through a 10-game schedule and keep everybody safe and get the games played, you've done a good job as a head coach. So I think the Will Muschamp situation was just a very unusual thing. I don't see any other changes. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Derek Mason at Vanderbilt, because they're not going to win a game this year, I don't believe. Does anything happen there? But I just think, given the circumstances that this season has been played in, the coaching carousel is just not going to be what it's been in the past.
Well, Vandy, too, you got a new chancellor this year. Yep. You got a new athletic director, although she'd been at the university for quite a while. Played there, actually, women's basketball there. So, Tony, thanks so much, buddy. We will talk next Saturday, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more to talk about.
I'm sure we will. You have a happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, of course, brought to you by Stroud's Barbecue. By the way, don't forget wings. You still get wings every Saturday at Stroud's Barbecue and Tennessee Steel Haulers. Farm Bureau Health, you know, one of the things you learn as a coach that you normally, and I don't think most people, I'm not big on surprises. You know, you never want to be caught off guard, whether you're coaching or even in your private life. But when it comes to health insurance, that's certainly an area that this day and time, nobody likes surprises. That's why I have my Medicare supplement plan and the Part D drug coverage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. Several years ago, many years ago now, I was looking to change my health insurance. I wanted to do business locally if I could, and certainly the state of Tennessee, if at all possible. Found both right down the road here in Middle Tennessee, right down in Columbia. Went to the help folks down there, and they gave me all my information on that's where they pay the claims. That's where they handle all the coverage areas. So if you're a planner, if you're somebody that doesn't like surprises, you can get it at Farm Bureau Health Plans. To learn more, how to enroll, who to talk to, visit their website, fbhp.com.
Don't miss the back-to-school sales event all month long at Walker Chevrolet. New cars, SUVs, and trucks. How about a new Tahoe four-wheel drive with leather for as low as $46,521? Are you tired of spending time at the gas pumps? We have the perfect car for you. Lease a new Bolt EV Premier for just $299 with $599 due at signing. Or let us get you into a brand-new Silverado for just $31,983. The back-to-school sales event going on now at Walker Chevrolet off I-65. Exit 65 in Franklin, or visit us online at walkerchevrolet.com.
Stock number LR237438. Prices include financing and GM Financial and trading 2006 or newer qualified trade-in. Does not include tax, title, or government fees. Stock number L4111119. Must have qualifying Costco membership. Must have current lease. Must qualify for formula pricing. Does not include tax, title, and government fees. Stock number LZ319577. Does not include tax, title, or government fees.
20-plus years of experience in cosmetic dentistry and restorative dentistry, all right here in Middle Tennessee. An artistic eye that has produced incredible results for his highly valued patients. That's Dr. Clint Newman. Located in Green Hills, a great location. We know that the single most important factor of the outcome of cosmetic dentistry is your dentist. His website, ClintNewmanDDS.com. Experience, dedication to the patient, and artistic eye. That's Dr. Clint Newman. And that's why he's in his third decade in Middle Tennessee.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And know is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
Hey, all you sports fans and dog lovers, it's Mike Keith. When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs. And at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, Double Dogs will make sure that you have the fuel you need at lunch or dinner while never having to miss a game. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs, located in cities across Tennessee.
We're back with Kent McMillan from IntelliTurf. Kent, another football season's here, and you guys are rocking and rolling.
That's right, Coach. If you are currently experiencing hard-to-maintain areas in your yard or place of business, our artificial landscaping turf is a permanent, maintenance-free solution to these problem areas. We offer many different varieties of turf to fit your exact needs. How about a golf green? Looking to improve your short game? Let us custom design an artificial turf green for you. We are all things turf, Coach. Look us up online at nashville.intelliturf.com.
I'm Hunter Thrasher at Tressler & Associates, PLLC. I believe in providing top-notch legal service to my clients by blending old-school customer service and attention to detail with the most up-to-date ideas and technology. My goal as your attorney is to turn a one-off transactional relationship into a trusted, all-encompassing partnership and general counsel role. My firm's motto is securing your peace of mind. To contact me, you can reach me at TresslerAssociates.com. That's TresslerAssociates.com.
Hey, sports fans, are you looking to buy a larger home or downsize because your kids have gone to college? If you can hear the Zone broadcast, we can help you. This is Suzanne Irvin Smothers. My brother Jeff Irvin and I have joined Village Real Estate as J&S Nashville Homes. We are both graduates of the University of Tennessee. We're native Nashvillians who know the city inside and out. We bring a love of helping people to our real estate practice. If you are buying or selling, you can count on us to listen to your needs. Ready to sell? Look us up at jnsnashvillehomes.com and contact us today.
If you're in the Cool Springs area and in a hurry for lunch or dinner, drop in Simply Living Life at the corner of Franklin Road and Moores Lane. Soups, sandwiches, casseroles, and a variety of desserts, all made fresh daily. In and out in about 5 minutes, Simply Living Life.
Forklift Systems Football Saturday continues with Charles Davis, presented by Star Physical Therapy on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome back in Forklift Systems Football Saturday. Charles Davis will join us here in just a second. Johnny Chavis coming up in the next segment. We'll be talking with Coach Chavis about the Tennessee-Auburn game. The Clemson program, how did it get where it is in a pretty short period of time, really? Had an excellent history, but nothing that to show what they were going to be doing here the last 8-10 years. And then the Ohio State program and how that was rebuilt, somewhat rebuilt, not in bad shape, but somewhat rebuilt by Urban Meyer a few years ago. Charles Davis joins us. Charles actually walked to his assignment from Orlando to Jacksonville. I'm looking at him here on Zoom, and out behind I see an ocean.
Yeah, every now and then we get lucky, Coach. You know, 1 week Buffalo, then 1 week the ocean. So not bad.
for an old boy from New York, got to be pretty good living down there. Hey. Enough about that. Let's get right to
it's not bad. More than I deserve.
Let's get right to some football. This Tuesday, 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock where you are. The first college football rankings come out. Of course, that's the precursor to the college football playoffs. Who's going to be chosen on that? Let's kind of go through these a little bit, and you tell me how you see things right now. I'm gonna go through the six or seven teams that I think are going to be up there on the top, and then talk a little bit about them. Again, folks, this may be in this order or not, but it'll be pretty close, I think. This is assuming that all these teams win this weekend. Alabama, best win over Texas A&M. Charles, what have you seen from Alabama this year?
Typical Alabama, but maybe we had the bar set a little low offensively. In terms of Mac Jones taking over quarterback, I mean, after you've gone from, you know, Jalen Hurts as the SEC player of the year as a freshman to getting beat out by Tua Tagovailoa, Tua's number five pick in the draft, even though he's beat up, you just wonder, can you continue at that level? You knew you had the receivers. I mean, Ruggs may have gone on and what have you and so on, but they still had Waddle. They still have Devontae Smith, but – you see where I'm going. There's always a but with them. Well, guess what? There's no more but anymore because Mac Jones playing at a super high level. He's put at such a high level that Heisman Trophy discussion about him is not even close to being out of line. In fact, it should be encouraged. So yeah, that's kind of been the thing. Now, defensively, we had some questions about him early, right? I mean, that Ole Miss game, whoo, I mean, what was going on with that? I think they're getting better there, but it's an offensive game now in college football, and I think Coach Saban recognizes it as well, so he'll keep tuning up that offense.
Charles, Mac Jones reminds me of an old time, and I say this with great respect, an old time football player. He doesn't look like he runs that. It kind of reminds me of Earl Morrill. He doesn't run.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Here. Sometimes he throws the ball and he looks like, you know, he's falling off the mound, but good gosh, the guy has played exceptionally well. And, you know, I was talking to a good friend of mine, coaching bud of mine, about how he's come along. He said, well, Doug, you know, he said, I don't think Coach Saban goes out and signs guys at quarterback that he doesn't think can play. He's a full scholarship player. But having said that, man, what a performance he's put on.
He really has, in coach times when he makes A.J. McCarron look elegant. And A.J. was never awkward, but you didn't think of A.J. as an uber athlete. But there was times where I thought A.J. McCarron got downgraded because Bama was such a juggernaut. But you remember his last year there was times when A.J. McCarron carried him, throwing the football. He made a game at A&M his senior year. That was a big deal with Mac Jones. You got to build around the run. And they're actually building around him, maybe much more so than we would have thought going into it. And that's working well for them.
Notre Dame going to be in there again. We're assuming wins are taken into account, that wins this weekend. Their best win. They got the best win of anybody. They beat Clemson. Clemson clearly a top 2-3 football team without question. And Notre Dame playing pretty darn well right now. Hard to see. I mentioned their remaining schedule. They go to North Carolina, who can score some points. Then they play Syracuse, who is horrible, and Wake somewhere in between North Carolina and Syracuse. And then, of course, they'd have the ACC championship game. But Notre Dame squarely in there, not outside looking in like they have been in years past because of really their alliance this year with the Atlantic Coast Conference.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly, Coach. And here's the thing with them. As you point out, what they have left, if they get through as we would expect them to, North Carolina for a while, you know, we were looking at them, but they've been a little inconsistent lately, especially giving up points. So I think that if Notre Dame plays their normal game, they beat them and what have you. What I'm eager to see is the rematch with Clemson. And I would say, Coach, that if they get to a rematch with Clemson and Clemson beats Notre Dame, I think we could see both of them in the college football playoff. I don't think it'll be a loser leave town game, depending on how it turns out. And if Clemson comes back and beats them by 50, then that opens the door. But I don't see that happening. I still, you know, even though Clemson missed, obviously, Trevor Lawrence, a big part of their defensive front, all those things that went into it, and they played them tough. I think we have another really good game in the ACC title game, and that could very well springboard two teams into the playoff out of the ACC.
Good point. Matter of fact, you know, looking at ifs, scenarios, that probably not going to happen. But if Florida would beat an undefeated Alabama team in the SEC championship game with one loss there, there's been history of what Alabama has done there. And you got the same thing, Notre Dame, Clemson on that. You know, the thing about Ohio State, Charles, I watched them play two games, and they are every bit as impressive as I thought they would be. But the problem with Ohio State is if they beat Indiana this week, that will be their most impressive win. And looking down the road, Michigan, you know, of course, Penn State is already out. I mean, those are not impressive wins this year. So as you look down, if your best win is at Indiana, of course, there'll be a conference championship game at some point. And we think that may be Wisconsin. But right now, the best win would be beating Indiana.
Yeah, and no one saw that one coming. I actually flew back from my game in Arizona last week with, this is my name dropping time, John Cook, the great golfer on the PGA Tour, an Ohio State grad. And he looked over at me across the aisle at one point and he said, hey, Ohio State, Indiana, battle of top 10 teams, and it's not hoops. And he started laughing to himself. He's a big Buckeye. And he said, I'm telling you, 2020, he said, dogs and cats getting along. He said, Indiana, Ohio State playing top 10 football. He said, who would have ever thought? This is a big tester. And truthfully, two things have to happen for Ohio State in this case, I think. Either Indiana really is a legit top 10 team and plays them tough in Columbus today, and it's a good win for Ohio State, or they absolutely make them roadkill and beat them by 50 and do that with everyone and present their case like, okay, I know our schedule isn't great, but we obliterated everyone. So it's got to go one of two ways for them there. I suspect more of the latter than the former, frankly, Coach. I mean, I know Indiana's in top 10. They're excited about their wins, but as you pointed out, now Michigan, I'm not sure, is an exciting win. So, you know, we just have to see how it plays out. And they barely got past Penn State, and that was a very controversial deal on the two-point play for them to get the win against Penn State. So I'm staring at Indiana and jumping up and down. But it's a fun story while it lasts, and Ohio State will pump it up and make sure everybody knows they're playing a top 10 team today.
Well, we got Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson there, of course. A&M still in it. Florida certainly still in it.
Still in it. Remember A&M beat Florida. So, you know, that's got to count.
And we just don't know about Oregon and Southern Cali. They've only played two games. They'll have three games. So,
USC's been very fortunate in both of their games, Coach. Both really for, especially the first one, coming back and beating Arizona State. And they were down, two touchdowns with, 2:41 on the clock and somehow won it. And now Arizona State looks like they might be in full shutdown, Coach. Their outbreak is so bad. Head coach all the way through. They've canceled two games, I believe, already. I'm pretty sure a third's about to be canceled or going to be. So that's a tough one. They squeak by Arizona. They're going to have to show marked improvement for me to feel like it. To me, it's still Oregon out west. And can they get the requisite number of games? I mean, I just saw where Stanford and someone just canceled out there. So it is going to be very difficult along the way to get the right number of games in, especially for those Pac-12s and Big Tens who started late and left zero margin for error, because it's bad enough everywhere else.
Well, Pac-12 had a max of six with that, and then cancellation. So we'll see. Charles, leave me with this. You watch JT Daniels play. What are you? Mm-hmm. What are we going to see from him? He, we think, is going to start at Georgia today. What type of play are we going to see from him?
Much more of a pocket guy, Coach. You know, in an era where the mobile quarterback is now predominant, he's more of the old school. Go back and fling it. Not saying he can't move, but his movement will be much more to create lanes to throw the football in the pocket. The last time I saw him in person, he was nowhere close to being in shape. So I certainly hope that's not what I see come Saturday, because if that's the case, or today, because if that's the case, then that's not going to go very well for him. But he was a highly touted recruit, Coach. Remember, he reclassified and came out a year early. So he is he's on the young side of whatever grade level he is on. And now that he's gone through some adversity, broke the leg at USC, lost his job essentially, looked up and saw the handwriting on the wall, there's no sense going back there. Came to Georgia, wasn't supposed to start here at all, coming off of a knee injury. The kid from Wake Forest opts out. The other kid, Stetson Bennett, plays pretty well for a while. Then he gets hurt and dinged up, I guess. This is a great opportunity. This is a big-time player if he puts it all together. But, Coach, don't expect him to be out there running a lot of zone read and quarterback run game and things of that nature. Georgia will have to adapt a little bit more. Although Stetson Bennett was much more like that, but not with nearly the arm talent this kid has. This kid can flat out throw it if he's on his game.
Yeah, well, that's kind of their offense anyway. Of course, Jack Fromm wasn't that type of player anyway. Charles, have a great game tomorrow. We will talk to you next Saturday.
Yeah, looking forward to it. You take care of yourself, everyone. Everyone stay safe.
Charles Davis, always with us and always does a great job. All right, Quick break. John Chavis will join us on the other side. Stay right here with us. This is Forklift Systems Football Saturday, and I'll talk to you about Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. Been watching a lot of Major League Baseball. Of course, whenever I think about baseball, I think about Larry Smitto for some reason. Sometimes it's a nightmare, but he was a recruiting coordinator when I played at Vanderbilt and did a phenomenal job, not only with Vanderbilt, but the Sounds. But even more than that, he has really built just an outstanding company, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. There's five locations, bowling locations, and calling bowling locations is a misnomer. They're much, much more than that. Yes, they have great bowling lanes all over the place. But if you're looking for bowling, games, food, drink, just great entertainment, regardless of your age or the people with you's age, that's Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. Online at strikeandspare.com. If you're looking for a place to get together, and everybody wanting to get out now, if you're looking for a place to get together, try one of the five Middle Tennessee locations. They're all open every holiday, 7 days a week. That includes all the holidays, as I mentioned. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Center. Strikeandspare.com. That's the website. Check them out.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for four generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford or mid10fordtrucks.com. That's mid10fordtrucks.com.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
And now, a moment of silence to remember our dear friend.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
Life can be uncomfortable. Your home doesn't have to be. With air conditioners, furnaces, and heat pumps installed by a Ream Pro partner, you can feel comfortable even when you can't be comfortable.
Ah, jeez. Really?
Trust the expert installation and service of your local Ream Pro partner. Visit reampropartnerstn.com to find one near you.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced. Each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
Celebrate Thanksgiving the Puckett's way with tasty Turkey Day options. Gather around the Puckett's table for a family-style meal featuring all your Southern favorites. Make your reservation today. Giving thanks at home this year? Let Puckett's handle the cooking. Now accepting holiday to-go orders for turkeys, smoked meats, homemade sides and desserts, and much more. Visit PucketsGRO.com/holiday-to-go to view the complete menu. This Thanksgiving, just relax and leave the cooking to Puckett's. Open on Thanksgiving Day or enjoy in your home.
At Wilson Bank and Trust, our game plan in the community includes supporting our local schools on the gridiron and in the classroom. When it comes to buying or improving your home, we can help your family with those game plans too. From personal loans to mortgages, our lending experts are with you every step of the way. Let us help you get your financial game plan together at wilsonbank.com or any of our 28 Middle Tennessee locations. Wilson Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
McPherson's Fall Sale, a great selection from Peter Millar, St. Croix, and more. Hard to fit? Try McPherson's custom suits, sports coats, and shirts. Right now, buy four custom shirts and get one free. McPherson's, where first impressions matter.
The Midday 180. Entertaining, informative, funny, and not afraid to be critical of anyone. Get Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharsky on the Midday 180. Monday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome back in, Forklift Systems Football Saturday. Always glad to bring good friend and great coach, John Chavis, to the microphone. Of course, John up in Knoxville this year, setting out looking, and got to the championship game again this year at middle school. But was I heard Jeff Francis made some bad calls and couldn't bail him out this year on the on defense. John, how are you?
Oh, doing great.
Wanted to start talking to John. Very few players or people, coaches, that have had a relationship in a Tennessee-Auburn game more so than John Chavis as a player, as an assistant coach, as a coordinator, seen it from all different angles. John, you go back a little bit further than I do, and you've coached in many more of them. Has there ever been an easy for either team Auburn Tennessee game in your memory?
No. It's obviously, you know, two of the, you know, the premier teams in the SEC for a long time. And, you know, the competition, you know, was always there. It was always a tough physical game. And, you know, that's particularly early on, Doug, that was Auburn's brand. They were going to run the ball right down your throat if you let them. And if you couldn't stop them, that's what they were going to do. That's many years ago. They've changed now, different style. But those were certainly some good games to be involved in.
You know, John, you're exactly right. There were physical teams in the league, but Auburn, Tennessee, particularly in the 80s, were two of the most physical football teams, and even early going into the 90s on that. But having said that, let's talk about a couple things. John uniquely has a great relationship, grew up, went to high school, went to the University of Tennessee with Kevin Steele, both defensive coordinators for many years, know each other very well, chat a lot. What do you expect from Kevin Steele this week? John, I always thought of the group that runs that particular defense, the Nick Saban defense, the one that Tennessee runs, Florida runs, South Carolina runs, Georgia runs. I thought Kevin probably pressured the least out of that group of those five or six coaches. Maybe I'm wrong on that. What do you see from Kevin today, you think? What are we going to see?
Well, I think this, obviously, and their scheme is really, you know, designed to stop the run. But ultimately, there's been a lot of people that have had a good bit of influence on Kevin. Dom Capers being one. And, you know, he's going to have some good run pressures to mix in. But if they have good success stopping the run and get you in third and long, then he's going to have about four or five pressures that probably he hadn't even shown this year. That's kind of become the norm for defensive coordinators, because it's so important to get off the field on third down. And he's got some really, really good pressures. We spent some time, you know, a few years ago looking and talking about those things. So I look to see him, you know, load the box, not let him run the football, and then be able to come after him a little bit on third down and have the ability also to play zone.
Talked to Kevin a couple of years ago when he was in the running for the Tennessee head job. Of course, at Alabama or Auburn, had some great years as defense coordinator. And Johnny talked to me about over the years how he really, by the way, Dom Capers, one of the old zone blitz package, he was one of the big guys in that, 20 years ago, I guess. But mentioned as the longer he coached, the more during ball games that he found himself really kind of settling down and just playing one or two defenses and let his players play. I always thought that was a big part of why he was successful.
Yeah. And, you know, he knew talent, knew how to evaluate, and he always had good players, Doug. And that's, you don't do it without good players. That's 100% true. You know, you may surprise some people from time to time, but it takes good players. No matter what your scheme is, you got to have good players. You know, for an example, I'm just looking at, you know, this season in the SEC. You know, back, Doug, when we got started, you gave up 21 points. You didn't feel real good. Well, things have changed. There's only one team that's given up, and they're a little bit over 21 plus in the SEC is Georgia. So, you know, the fact that you got to, you know, get those guys out there because they're seeing so many formations, they're seeing so many different personnels, and, you know, you got to let them get settled in and play. So, you know, I agree with that theory 100%. You know, you got to hang your hat on what you do the best.
John, help us with this a little bit. I know what happened when I was coaching. How often during a season when you're in the same league with a deep guy like Kevin, a friend of yours, a close friend, or other coaches, you know, how often do assistant coaches, now these coordinators, talk about games, coming games, and also what they're doing? Do they do it much during the season? I know a lot of it happens after the season, but how about during the season?
Sure. Absolutely. You know, you got friends that you're close enough to that you can pick up the phone and call them, or they can pick up the phone and call you. It's not something that you talk about all the time. But my point is this, you know, they will give you tips and you will give them tips. And, you kind of help each other out. Now there's some that won't, you know, and doggone it, the agents have kind of changed that a little bit, because if you're playing a team that, the head coach there and the team you're playing has the same agent, you know, they've kind of, you know, don't want you to visit with those folks. So, but, on a normal base, you know, it happens a lot, Doug, and, you'd be surprised. I'll give you this as an example. Even, when I was at LSU, we were getting ready to open up with Oregon, and, we went out to, Arizona, because Arizona played them. We had never seen Oregon, and you know, wanted Coach Stoops was the head coach, and his brother was with him, if I'm not mistaken. But make a long story short, you know, we sat down for 2 days and looked at that and chopped it up and talked about it and traded ideas. And you know, I left there. I was the only one that went out. I left there with a great idea of what we were going to do game plan wise. And we went to work in on it in spring practice, because it's the first game we're going to play. And we spent a lot of time, and be quite honest with you, that helped us be prepared to play Oregon.
Yeah. The Oregon, everybody now, or many, many people now what's called the hurry up offense. Hurry up doesn't describe how quick and fast that Oregon put that thing on. You remind me, John, of the old wishbone days where you prepared for the wishbone, and then when you got in the game, it took you a quarter to kind of catch up with just how fast those wishbone teams were. Very, very similar to how you had to play against those Oregon-based teams and teams after that, getting up that line of scrimmage, because no matter how much you try to prepare for it in practice, it's just not possible to do until you get into the game and the pure game speed of it.
That's the key, is the speed. And I'll give you another thing that happened with us in our preparation for that, Doug. Coach Miles took his first offense and his second offense, and we stripped cards that we knew we were going to see, and they ran it back to back, you know, first offense, second offense, first offense, second offense. So we got some of that speed because he put his best players out there on the field for a 15 minute period that we had almost every day in practice. And that was our preparation for that speed.
John, let's talk about while we were talking off air here. I have not had access to anything, but at least a pretty strong rumor, if not more than that, maybe even confirmed. Harrison Bailey sounds like would be the starter today. What are you hearing up in the Knoxville area?
Well, I was just looking, you know, at Twitter, which I don't do a lot, but there's a tweet out that Coach Pruitt has announced that he's going to be the starting quarterback. So that's what I got. And I don't see any denial out there on that. And I guess we'll know when they kick off, but that's what it sounds like for sure.
All right, let's go back to Kevin Steele. You know him well. First start, freshman in high school last year, missed a lot of practice time preseason, has not played hardly any this year. I'm going to guess we may see a little more pressure in passing situations, maybe. A lot of different looks they can give you. And, John, the toughest thing, and from a defense coordinator standpoint, play caller, defense play caller, when you know you got a quarterback that hadn't been out there, all the protections that they have to master, I would think Kevin's going to give them a lot of different looks in the third down situation or any passing down, I would think.
Oh, you're 100% right. And you know, what your philosophy in this situation is usually, hey, we're going to make him beat us. We're going to make him beat us with his arm. And, you know, certainly when you start looking in, you know, from a protection standpoint, if he's got to do that, the quarterback has to do that, then it's going to be difficult for him. But you'd be surprised the number of programs, you know, the guys that handle that for a lot of young quarterbacks is the center. There's a lot of centers that are, you know, when they come to the line of scrimmage and it's a third down and they see the look as a center, you know, they're going to set the protection call in a lot of situations.
John, let's take that a next step. Also know this, you would have to believe this Tennessee team does it anyway. You would have to believe, you know, you mentioned starting when we started this segment about what Auburn likes to do, what Kevin Steele likes to do as a defense coordinator there. Now you even have to expect even more emphasis from Tennessee running, right? Tennessee's got to believe they're a running team anyway. I would think even more emphasis to get that that running game cranked up to, again, help that freshman quarterback. But you flip it over the other side, Auburn knows that also.
Yep. And, you know, I'm sure they got a good plan. And, you know, if my first thought would be if they're going to do that, part of their running game is going to be, you know, seeing probably some shifts, probably use of a tight end and you know, creating some different looks up front and trying to make it tough on the defense to, you know, get a good key on everything that you're doing. And I've always thought this, the toughest offenses that you play against that can run the football is the plays that they're going to have off those same looks, you know, with play action, you know, those kind of things that go along with it, getting the quarterback outside the pocket, letting him be able to throw the ball one area of the field or either tuck it and run.
Well, the other thing on that too, John, is that the schemes that you're going to be seeing, they're the positive for Harrison Bailey, if he indeed does stop. Tennessee's had two open weeks in the last 3 weeks. They were open then Arkansas. So he's got a lot of reps. And in the week before Arkansas, he got a lot of reps simply because of Garantano was out with in the concussion protocol. John, as always, thanks so much, my friend, and looking forward to seeing this game and talking to you about it next week.
All righty.
Coach John Chavis, again, much to talk about with him each and every week. As we go to our last break, Hilton Nashville Green Hills. I've heard such good reports from folks that are trying it now. The family staycation, if we could call it that, weekend getaways or just a break from the kids or the grandkids. Luxurious hotel is located right in the heart of Green Hills, 50-yard line, if you will, right near the Green Hills Mall. They have an outstanding restaurant there, the Hearth Restaurant. Great food, an outdoor terrace that makes seating available, open for breakfast and dinner. It's there for you. It's new. It's brand new. It's luxurious, and they would love to see you there. If you got family or friends coming in, super. If you don't, well, just utilize it for yourself and those staycations. Ask them about the football special. Again, that is the Hilton Nashville Green Hills.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Somewhere out there, a math teacher's school loans were forgiven, allowing her to focus on paying it forward, not back.
Somewhere out there, a parent is breathing easier, knowing their child's college education will cost a little less.
Somewhere out there, a Hope Scholarship just helped a student open the door to a brighter future.
And they all have players like you to thank for the $5.5 billion raised for education. Because every time someone plays the Tennessee Lottery, education wins. The Tennessee Education Lottery, game-changing, life-changing fun.
After the year we've had, Genesis Diamonds thinks you deserve something really special.
And we're making it happen.
This weekend, Genesis Diamonds' largest sale ever, with savings up to 35% store-wide, plus aggressive zero-interest financing, and an expanded selection of gorgeous all-new designer jewelry. Rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, new engagement rings, too. Turn your 2020 challenge into a 2020 celebration with something special from Genesis. 3 days of incredible store-wide savings this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Genesis Diamonds, Green Hills and Cool Springs. On approved credit.
Brent Doherty and Don Davenport love being your soundtrack for all things sports during your drive home. If only the soundtrack stopped there.
Just say no. Say no to drugs. Yep. Oh, yeah.
If she sings, then I dance. That's how this works.
Oh.
The 3HL. Monday from 3 to 6 on 104.5 The Zone.
Few more minutes here left on the show. This is Fort Worth Systems Football Saturday. Tomorrow, Big Orange Sunday, 8 o'clock Central Time, right here on 104.5 The Zone. We will be taking a good look at what happens today down in the loveliest village. Auburn, Tennessee, that game is this evening. And again, big game for both teams. Quite honestly, and I'll talk a little bit about kind of break down that game a little bit right now. Both of them just average football teams, and Auburn a little bit better average, above average, more so than Tennessee is right now. But you kind of look at this game. Let's talk a little bit about from Tennessee's perspective. Tennessee's had two off weeks. It looks like, again, this came out right before John Chavis came on. Looks like that Harrison Bailey will be the starter. Not a surprise there, I guess. We'll see what happens on that. But Coach Jeremy Pruitt has really zeroed in on several things this past couple of weeks. Makes common sense. But this, number one, on offense, got to take care of the football. And that is so, so key. Listen, every coach will tell you that. But this particular Tennessee offense that is not scoring many points at all, as a matter of fact, they're under offensive points, right at 18 points a game. That's anemic in today's football. Know that they have to be able to run the ball, but they also have to get some splash plays. We'll talk about those in a second, but take care of the football. So far, Tennessee has had 6 interceptions and 4 fumbles. They've had turnovers, 10 turnovers, all those in the last 4 games. Didn't have any in the first 2 games. But more importantly, of those 6 interceptions, 2 were returned for touchdowns. And out of those 4 fumbles, 2 were returned for touchdowns. So 40% of their turnovers ended up being defensive scores, not scores that set up scores, but 40%. I don't know that I've ever seen that number anywhere. Got to get that fixed. And then on the other side of the ball, they simply have to be getting their hands on more balls. They got to force some turnovers. Only had 7 for the season in 6 years. Or excuse me, 6 games, excuse me. And the one in Georgia was a bad snap by Georgia. Didn't have anything to do with Tennessee. That's that you can't win in this league, and certainly that has been a hallmark, a fundamental of Jeremy Pruitt defenses as a coordinator. Turnovers, haven't had those. Third down efficiency, so, so key. Again, very bad in the wrong way. Tennessee offensively, 27%. Less than 3 out of every 10 third downs end up in not getting the first and 10, punting the ball or having to go for it on fourth. And defensively, it's flipped almost half the time, 5 out of 10, 48% Tennessee defensively is giving up first and tens. What does that do? That keeps you off the field and them on the field, their offense, and vice versa. So, very key. Extremely important for Tennessee today. If they are to beat Auburn, or let me word it this way, their best chance to beat Auburn. I learned from listening to Coach Bear Bryant years ago, there's always ways to win, many different ways to win. More ways to win on defense than on offense, quite frankly, with a kicking game and those things. But Tennessee's best chance, they got to find a way to get the ball down the field. With Bailey in there, strong arm, I want to see how many of these younger players are going to be playing. What's the personnel going to be? Quarterback, sounds like there's going to be a change. Wide receiver, those young wide receivers, Hyatt and Callaway and Weidman, just to mention a few. Are we going to see those players now? We haven't seen much of them. Interesting to see. Tight end, H-back, Beckwith hasn't played this year. Highly recruited young man. Maybe there's another problem we don't know about, but quite frankly, are we going to see those young players on offense? And then Jim Chaney play calling. What's it going to be? What's the game plan? What's the play calling going to be? Got to believe that even if Tennessee plays error-free, without splash plays and without turnovers by the defense, getting defensive turnovers, Tennessee's going to have a tough time winning. But two teams pretty even, really. A little bit better quarterback at one. Some got a little better here, others a little better there. Two average to above average teams in this league, and we'll be talking about the winner next week. Thanks so much for being part of the show. Actually, we'll be talking about the winner tomorrow morning on Big Orange Sunday, 8 o'clock Central Time, right here. And don't forget, we'll see you next Saturday, right here, 9 o'clock, 104.5 The Zone, for Forklift Systems Football Saturday.
It's important to buckle up your kids.
I know.
Sometimes car seats can be complicated.
I know.
And if your child's in the wrong seat and you get into a crash.
I know.
It could lead to a serious injury.
I know.
So you're 100% sure you have the right car seat for your child's age and size?
I don't know.
Don't think you know. Know you know. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Make sure you have the right car seat. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
travel,
protection,
ability,
friendship,
escape, control, independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injuries,
tears, death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
It's important to buckle up your kids.
I know.
Sometimes car seats can be complicated.
I know.
And if your child's in the wrong seat and you get into a crash.
I know.
It could lead to a serious injury.
I know.
So you're 100% sure you have the right car seat for your child's age and size?
I don't know.
Don't think you know. Know you know. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Make sure you have the right car seat. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From the Mark Spain Real Estate.